Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Peripheral Visions by Antonia Bax. We are broadcasting out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, United States of America. This is episode number. Brother Rob, please introduce the number.
Yes, real quickly. Tonight's episode is 1,407.
Amen.
Thank you. The telephone number to call in to listen to the show is 319-527-6091. That is 319-527-6091. And please press 1 pound to talk to the host. In order to be able to listen on the internet, please type in www.blogtalkradio.com. That is www.blogtalkradio.com. And then type in Peripheral Visions by Antonia Bax. That is Peripheral Visions, V-I-S-I-O-N-S, by Antonia, A-N-T-O-N-I-A, Bax, B-A-T-T-S. You can even select live shows or titles in order to be able to get in under that website in order to listen to review previous shows. Now, tonight's show is titled Coronavirus. It still is gradually reducing in the United States by numbers of people who are dying, but there's still problems because before many more people are saved, we have to examine more issues, including the issue about the new South African COVID variant that has hit anywhere all over the United States. Plus, following from the book titled COVID-19, Most Frequently Asked Questions, I selected the most important information, and I will have a guest on who will be introduced this evening. His name will be Reverend Joe of a church here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, who will address you and introduce himself and respectfully acknowledge former passing broadcaster / station owner and dedicated community servant, Mr. Cody Anderson. Plus, I will touch on stimulus checks, updates, student loan pardoning issues, and the Texas disaster situation. I will briefly touch on that. Now, in respect for the time for Reverend Joe, in order to aid his family, I would like to ask for him to come on first, if he can. And first, he will tell you his name, the name of his church he's affiliated with here. He will tell you after the COVID season when they, you know, will eventually be back up and running, hopefully, you know, when time goes on. And he will give you the telephone number to his radio conference line that he has on Wednesdays, Friday, and Sunday mornings at 11 a.m.
Amen.
And in honor of Cody Anderson, he has a very sincere and good heart, and I felt as though who best to introduce him but Reverend Joe. And with that being said, Reverend Joe, how are you?
Well, good evening, first of all, Ms. Bass. I'd like to thank God for this opportunity tonight, and thank you for giving me this opportunity, and say good evening to everyone that's listening. Unfortunately, with this coronavirus, we haven't had service in our location in Philadelphia, 701 Westford Johnson Street, since last March. And next week, March coming, in a couple of days, we will be out of the building for 1 year. And unfortunately, it all happened at one time. My sister became sick, and a daughter became sick, and they went into the hospital. They put my sister on a, this all happened in November of last year, put my sister on a ventilator. She passed the very next day. They put my niece on a ventilator the very next day, and she passed. So I had to officiate both ceremonies in the cemetery because the disease was so new, the undertakers were afraid. They never embalmed the bodies. They just put them in double body bags and coffers. And we went out to Rolling Green Cemetery here in Philadelphia, and I committed to both bodies. So you know I have a personal stake at what's happening with the disease. And then unfortunately, again, yesterday, one of the greatest announcers and general managers of at one time with the number one station here in Philadelphia, WDAS, number one station, white or black station in Philadelphia, AM and FM, Mr. Cody Anderson, and we had been friends for almost over 50 years. And I just called into his show. He has a show every Saturday morning, and commented him on black history and being one of the first general managers of a radio station in America, and he did such a good job. And I commended him, and they played that tape back on last Saturday, and he died Saturday night. I called in and said that he had done a great job, and he thanked me for that. So I was led by the Spirit to do that, and I want to tell your listeners tonight, be obedient to the Spirit. Matter of fact, as Ms. Bass said, we have a conference call line we do Wednesday, Fridays, and Sunday morning, 11 to 12 on each day. And we have a word for today, and the word for this Wednesday comes is going to be listen. God is talking. Are we listening? With the people freezing to death and starving to death in Texas, God is talking. The scripture said, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves, we could hear from heaven. And I tell you, this country has done a lot of things that are not right, and you reap what you sow. So we want to kind of stop being too busy and start to listen. Amen. One thing about hearing, but you have to listen. It's because you heard something that don't mean you were listening. And I thank God for that. And I am a former member. I have to say this, Ms. Bass. I don't think she knew this. But I'm a former member of one of the world's greatest gospel groups in the world, the famous Dixie Hummingbirds. And I happen to be the last living member of that group. And we were inducted month or so into the African American Music Hall of Fame in Nashville, Tennessee. And that's all the music, blues, all the music, rock and roll and everything. So that's a great honor. And how the Lord would have it, I am the last living member of the original group. So I'm proud of that. And I'm proud that Dennis Bass gave us a suggestion some time ago that we should start a conference call for the members, from our members of senior citizens, to stay in touch. And thank God we did, because we had no idea we'd be out of the building for one whole year. But it's better to be safe than sorry. So it's a strange disease, and I don't know if they really know a lot about it, like they're telling the people. And they're having lines of people here in Philadelphia trying to get vaccines. They're running out of vaccines. But it's amazing how some person in the house would get it and some won't. My niece went to a funeral, and after the funeral, that's when we think that she might have picked up the disease and brought it home. She was staying with my sister at the time. My sister's 83. At the time, my niece was 61. And whatever it was, my sister got it and my niece got it, and as I said, in 2 weeks' time, they were dead. Mr. Cody Anderson, the man that we were talking about, from the general manager of the radio station, he became sick 2 weeks ago. And the word was that he was getting better. And then on Friday when on our regular church call-in line, we prayed for him, and someone said they had gotten word that he was put on a ventilator. And when I heard that, I said, oh, my goodness. It seems like that's the beginning of the end. I don't know what that's all about, but my sister and niece was on ventilators. I never go even being a minister. They didn't allow me in the hospital, so I never really saw them in 2 weeks before they died. And, of course, I couldn't see them after they never got embalmed unless they were in coffins when I did the ceremony. So we are blessed tonight. Those of us are still on our feet. We're still living. We have so much to be thankful for. And thank Ms. Bass for this, what she's doing here. And I whatever I can do to make it work. If you'd like to write to me, post office box, we've had this post office box 40 years. Reverend Joe Williams, P.O. Box 4262, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19144. That's Reverend Joe Williams, P.O. Box 4262, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19144. And they never say my full name for some unknown reason. They've been calling me Reverend Joe for the last 25, 30 years. I wasn't always a preacher because I've been singing for 75 years. I am 82 years old, and I started singing when I was broadcasting over the same station, WDAS, when I was 5 years old. So I've been singing a long time. Lord, it really blessed me, and I'm here. By the grace of God, go I, because the people in Texas can't get warm, and they can't get food, can't get water. So if you have drinking water and food and a shelter tonight, thank God for it. Matter of fact, I tell the people in our church, in the morning when you wake up, thank God for this day. Before you hit your feet, hit your knees, and thank God for the new day. And ask God, listen, ask God, what would you have me to do today? And if you're listening, he'll certainly tell you. So I guess I've talked enough. Any questions or any other comment? It's this disease is going over. It's an equal opportunity disease. It's going all over the world. Can you hear me, Ms. Bass? Okay.
Yes, I can.
And I want to thank you for giving us that suggestion to have that telephone line. That's working out good. We have a lot of people look forward to being on the line Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. Oh, let me give those numbers out to you. If you like to...
I'm sorry. Could you excuse me one moment? Because a lot of people, like myself included, do not come prepared to write anything down. I'm going to talk for just about a minute or so before Reverend Joe Williams is going to give you that information because, you know, I think he gave such a wonderful – I didn't know about him. I was highly impressed because, you know, he's been a man working for God for quite a while, and that's a good thing. But not only that, he has a wonderful supporting family. His daughter mediates his shows.
She's in Atlanta.
Atlanta, Georgia.
And by the way, Ms. Bass, this coming June 11th, my wife and I will be celebrating our 60th wedding anniversary.
Oh, how beautiful. I have to be reminded, if you don't mind, and put it on my calendar.
Okay,
because we may be able to do something special for that.
All right.
As well
you
as Tyrone.
You did a lot for us. Suggestion that we should have a conference call. I'd never even heard of a conference call that you did it, and it's working out, and I want to thank you for it.
Oh, you're more than welcome. And his wife, Laverne, she does some very dedicated and beautiful singing, along with other congressional persons that he has in his congregational as well. So she supports him, and she's obviously a dutiful wife, which is a wonderful thing. And
we like to say teamwork makes the dream work.
All right. I like that. He's very creative with coming up with cliches that stick with you. Teamwork makes the dream work.
Ms. Bass, I'm trying to get a book of Joe Williams, no, Reverend Joe said, some of those slants, because when you heard us say, and that's when you can't, God can, and when you won't, God will. I kind of, the Lord gave me that 50 years ago. So the Greeks say, if it's not written down, it never happens. So I'm going to start writing things down and try to remember. But if it helps somebody, that's good. And you're so encouraging. I want you to know that.
Oh, my God bless you. And you know, everyone out there, if he does make, let's just say, a book of those, I'm sure he'll make it affordable for those of us who know what the struggle is about.
I will. It'll be
so
like a panther to care.
Perfect. That will be excellent. And pretty much get it out there if you can, because, you know, the things, they could become inspiring, and that's, rhymes and things like that are what made Cassius Clay, in other words, Muhammad Ali, who has such a great inspiration for those who realize that the way you market yourself is give people something to think about. It's sometimes it's poetry or cliches or catch situations.
Well, you know,
like
one thing
was bad.
What
you
say is so true. When I was in radio, I used to do commercials for stations, and I was account executive, sold radio time and all that. But when I would go in every morning, I would say, I am the greatest. And I got that from Muhammad Ali. You have to psych yourself up. Because I was really the only black person with the station. I knew I had to be extra good. So I'd say that every morning to myself, I'm the best. I'm the greatest. You know, it works. So
yes, very inspiring. Positive thinking.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I say to people now, give out, but don't give up.
All right.
Give out, but don't
like
give
that.
Up.
I like that.
You're one of my biggest fans.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. I have that number, too. If people are ready, I'll give up that number.
Okay. Would you have a moment just to mention about Cody Anderson, anything that sticks out about what he brought to the table? I heard through his history that he owned WHAT.
Yes, he did.
I guess 50s, and he kept it going as long as he humanly can.
That's right. And then they went out of business altogether, and then he purchased, along with Dr. Lomax, WRD. Matter of fact, I went to New York with Mr. Anderson. I never called him Cody for some unknown reason. We were Mr. Anderson and Harvey Holiday, another disc jockey on WDAS-FM, which was the number one station in Philadelphia. They also owned the station in New York, WWRL.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to New York with them to critique that station, listen to them, because they wanted to start playing gospel. And the truth of the matter is, Bob Law still is a radio talk show host. He was syndicated all over the world at one time. He was a personal friend of mine, and he was on that station. So I called him earlier today and told him that Mr. Cody Anderson had passed. But it was a shock to everyone, shock to me, because he was one of the very few black general managers of any station in Philadelphia. And how the Lord would have it, not only that, he had the number one station, white or black, in Philadelphia. So go share what the Lord can do.
Amen. You know, it's a coincidence, real fast, I should mention, that Cody did that. And some people think that he looked at it as a loss, but he probably needed to pull back on all he has gotten out there and the drum to, as they say, because actually Lomax, who owns the radio station WURD here in Philadelphia, inherited from her father, I heard. She, along with, I'm sure, siblings, had managed to not only keep it going, but it has a very minority level, you know, African American, Black American, whatever.
Yes, right. You're right.
Following, and to my understanding, with Cody being hired on there, and you said he became part of owners with her. I didn't know that.
That's right.
But
you're right.
Who better?
Right.
Yeah. Thank you. And who better?
The great history, you know. When I was in radio, I worked with the Lord would have it, I guess. When I worked for white stations, most times I would be the only black salesman at the station. And I worked at a country music station for 14 years, selling country music.
Oh.
So when I would walk in, I would shock the people, say, a black guy selling country music. That would be an icebreaker for me. But I remember you go into white establishments in the suburbs in Philadelphia back in that time. They would have WDAS-FM on the radio because they were playing soul music, Detroit music, sounds of Philadelphia. So music is a way of, one of the members of the church said one time, the late Arnold Ward, he worked at Temple University, he felt if the world is ever to come together, it would be music that can do it, the universal language of music.
Mm. Excellent. And speaking of music, everyone out there, I just would like to mention, speaking of the Dixie Hummingbird, who have a heck of a gospel sound that they've been known for so many years. If you go on YouTube, you know, through your cell phone or your laptop or your tablet or whatever, you will find that you can probably hear some of the music that they played for the time that Reverend Joe Williams had been on air. And I tell you, you will look forward to hearing a very good repertoire of gospel music with their sound that has become so popular and put out there on a pedestal on the level of people who you would really be surprised about if you follow or learn about gospel music. With that
I like
being
to
said,
say
Reverend Joe,
it's the music that fixed up. When you're feeling down, it will pick you up. It's good for what ails you.
Yes. And you heard it here, everybody.
Amen.
So with that being said, thank you so much. But don't go anywhere, please, because I'm sure by now the majority of the people out there have a pencil and paper or put it on whatever source they can. This wonderful telephone number that will be broadcasted on Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sundays.
And thank you again. This is so wonderful. I can't thank you enough for doing this. All right. 701-802-5077. I'm going to repeat that. 701-802-5077. And the code, after you get in, the code you have to give them is 865-218 pound, the pound sign on your phone. 865-218 pound on your phone. And we start 11 o'clock sharp, 1 hour. We like to call it Our Power. It's a prayer line. We have people calling from all over. We would welcome anyone listening tonight to call and be part of it. We have a lot of famous people that come on the line. This Wednesday coming, we have the retired mayor of Toledo, Ohio, first black mayor of Toledo, Ohio, and he's also a lawyer. He was so tremendous last Wednesday that we asked him to come back this week, and he would come back. Beth Smith is the commentator on Wednesday, and she was nationally known at one time, and on BET, and also she was syndicated at night, all night long on the radio out of Pittsburgh. That's how we met. So, and on Friday, see, it's a holistic ministry, body, mind, and spirit. On Friday, we talk about the mind, and we have a retired psychologist, Dr. Lucille Ajo, who has a talk show here in Philadelphia also, and she gives out some great tips on your mind. Matter of fact, at one time, she encouraged me to start a back-to-school conference for young people to get their minds ready to get back to school in a learning mode. And we kept that going. That was about 30 years ago. We still do that once a year before school starts. So the numbers again, 701-802-5077. Once you get in, 865-218 pound. And Ms. Bass, I can't thank you enough. I don't know if anyone have a question or you want to ask me anything. Now that you know I'm real famous, I'll give you an autograph once I see you. But thank you. So you're always encouraging calling, and I appreciate it.
Well, you're more than welcome. Now, Brother Rob, are there any people out there who would be interested in asking a question? Or maybe he'll even tell the title and the location here in Philadelphia of his church. We don't want to overlook that either, Reverend Joe. Could you please tell us that, please?
All right. I also want to say, oh, I'm glad you reminded me of such so many things. They're writing a book about myself, and it stands now. It was one other member still living at the time we started writing the book, Mr. Howard Carroll, who was the world's greatest guitarist, gospel music guitarist. Now, he passed two years ago. So they're writing the book, and the name of the book is Flying with the Birds, Some of the Greatest Stories Never Told by Reverend Joe and Mr. Howard Carroll, because he did have a lot to do with the book. When we interviewed every Thursday night. He was in a nursing home, and I'd go to the nursing home, and we'd sing around the bed, and the reporters would come in, we'd dictate the book to them. That's been going on for a couple of years now. So we're trying to get it all together so we can get the book out. Flying with the Birds, Some of the Greatest Stories Never Told. Now it's by Reverend Joe and Mr. Howard Carroll of the world-famous Dixie Hummingbirds.
Wow. Howard Towns, T-O-W-N-S, as
yes, ma'am.
To imply you're going to town with an S at the end. Wonderful. Wow. Well, with that being
The church is funny. The church is almost like the telephone number. The church is located in Philadelphia, 701 West Johnson Street, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19144. Now, the church is part of the Underground Railroad in that area where the slaves came through, enslaved people came through, and that was one of the stops they made en route to Canada. And the Johnson House is about three blocks away. That's where they would stay on top of the roof, even in winter times, trying to escape to get to Canada. So the church that I have now was formerly owned by the white Methodist people, and the Lord bless us to they kind of like the audience, a lot of the members died out, and the Lord blessed my wife and I to be able to purchase that church, and we've been there now 7 years. This Easter Sunday will be 7 years. That's God's number. So prayerfully we'll be back in the church by that time, if it's safe. So 701 West Johnson Street, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19144. That's in West Mount Airy. We relocated at the Walling Bridge. That's the bridge, the river that the slaves came up on. So we're right at the mouth of that bridge in the Walling Circle that goes around the church before you go over that bridge, the Walling Bridge. So it's very historic. And we have a museum in the lower level of the church with a lot of things that belong to the Dixie Hummingbirds, pictures and old records, and so we have a library, and most of the other things we had was donated to the Blockson Collection at Temple University. I'm the chaplain for the Blockson Collection at Temple University in Philadelphia. They house the largest collection of memorabilia, black history, any place in the world at the Blockson Collection in Philadelphia.
Thank you. Now, everyone, I'm sorry for interrupting. I just wanted to let you know, Dr. Blockson, is it B-L-O-C-K-S-O-N?
Yes, ma'am.
Blockson. Thank you. He has a heck of a collection and definitely hosts some various artifacts and things of that nature through his personally discovered presence, and I'm not sure if he's a founder of the African American section.
He's one of the founders, sir. He is.
One of the founders. Thank you.
Yes, at the African American Museum here in Philadelphia.
Okay. At the African American Museum, which is at 7th and Arch Streets in the downtown section of
Philadelphia. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. And I will say this much. Having had seen his display, met his daughter, and seen him personally when he would be present at the featured people who would visit his particular, displays and things and meetings and or workshops or whatever, it is really a sight to behold. He's right across from the security guard housing area, rather, booth. Yes, station. right across from the station, so you can't miss him. And the building that he's in, it just spells antiquity. It looks like something from a storybook, because I'm quite sure many stories that came through there. And
yeah,
it is very eloquent, very eloquent. Temple University has really outdone themselves having
the
that particular department. And I tell you, Temple University has a heck of a reputation itself worldwide. So you can't miss it. It's on Broad Street next to, like I said, the security station, security officer station.
It's on the campus of Temple University. This week, Ms. Bass, this Tuesday at 2 p.m., they're going to be Zooming a conference with some of the first black Marines, Marfa Point Marines, that went into the Marine Corps in 1940-41. Some of them are still living.
Wow.
And I'm the chaplain for that group, and I'll open that with prayer. Matter of fact, every time he has an exhibit or guest,
mm-hmm.
they ask me to come to open it for prayer, and I feel honored that I'm able to do it.
Wonderful. Well, you know, if you can't reach the Bloxon House, anyone out there who's interested in knowing more information, maybe through the main directory service, possibly ask for, if you can't reach it, through finding out how to reach Dr. Bloxon.
Yes,
African-American department there at Temple University. And I'm sure they'll be glad to guide anyone to lead. And memorabilia is one of my favorite subject matters. So coming to your church will be an honor once the virus has
God bless you.
So, yes, I would love to see. And it may, for all you know, become a museum piece dedicated in the honor of yourself and your wife and your daughter and whoever else in the family, just to be able to say that you have made history here and you definitely want to continue the legacy of all that was established.
Amen.
What the storyline is about. I don't want to hold you up forever and a day.
All right. Well,
but everyone
I
out there.
Thank everyone for being so obedient and listening to my story. But when the book comes out, it'll be some of the greatest stories never told. And Ms. Vance asked, I always like to end the service or either the telephone call and tell everyone, just remember, when you can't, God can, and when you won't, God will. God bless you, and thank
Amen.
You so much.
Amen. But I'm going to ask you to tell everybody that phone number one more time, please, because some people may have not been prepared at that point. And the telephone number, the call,
tell you what I'll
and
do.
Then the
password. I'll give them my cell number, they call, and I'll give it to them. It won't be so mixed up. Call, you can call all over the world. 215-813.
I'm sorry, excuse me. I'm sorry, can I interrupt you? Can I suggest that you don't give out your cell number, only because if you have a million and one calls intervening, you may just have them to call them on the conference number.
All right, I'll give you
okay,
the conference number, Ms. Bass, is 701-802-5077. 701-802-5077. And the code, once you get in, is 865-218 pound. And we welcome your calls. And I thank you. Well, we do Black History all the time, not just February. And you might pick up some things you should know. And what I said, and one of the things that another one of the sayings, Ms. Bass, is, we don't know we don't know.
Amen.
So that's why you should tune in. Again, young lady, appreciate it.
Okay. You're more than welcome. And thank you, and you have a blessed night. And this is where we're going to do a jump off, because he has to go. And I would like to be able to continue some of the information. I think that's very important.
Well,
okay.
One
thank
last saying.
If you have to go,
one last saying. Keep the faith,
mm-hmm.
and your faith will keep you. Good night.
All right. Good night. And thank you. All right, everyone. Boy, I tell you, very impressive. So I'm going to roll right along here, and I'm going to introduce next the subject of, in honor of working backwards and going forward, because of the way things have been a little unexpected but worthwhile. I would like to say that regarding the subject of Texas, it's important to me to get that out there because just like the virus, we hope that people will continue to support Texas. Now, I heard that, you know, a big name celebrity, Beyonce, is donating however millions to Texas because that is her home state. And I'm sure all of the other wealthy celebrities of different types, rappers included, if you can make that dedication, that'll be nice. It would be nice if we could name individually, but I don't have that type of time on my phone for anyone who makes the contribution that they can through by ways of services and or monetary contributions. But I would like to say the Texas, Fort Worth, Texas, Fort Worth being the city, Texas obviously the state mayor, he appealed to Congress to not allow players to be responsible for the money that it takes to repair and to make means and ways to be reestablished to help rescue the Texas people in the midst of this horrific snowstorm. My mother says she hasn't even heard of a snowstorm or any type of cold weather down in Texas all her life, so I can relate. And I will say this is the most recent catastrophic storm that damaged not only Texas, but a lot of states on the way coming up the middle of the map of the United States that was in the way. People have died from it, several people. People are without water to drink. They're drinking water that they acquire from the snow and boil, if they have a place to even boil it. There have been seen holes tearing through the roofs of their homes and flooding the places. Some people went to furniture stores. There was nowhere else to go. So he was on a show called Face the Nation, and that particular mayor. And he's appealing for anybody who can please make donations of the many supplies, like especially plumbing supplies, if they can ever make it through to help people plug up whatever's ailing them by way of plumbing. And, of course, water. You know, I don't know, maybe bottled water or whatever piping systems that can be created, however that's done. But at this point, this whole matter is not over with because Cruz, I believe he's one of the representatives there in office who was going to take off on vacation, as some people had said over the air network, and the representative from New York, she came at the tune of approximately $3 million, if I'm not mistaken. They call her AOC, and Cortez is her last name. She wanted to really be, came down to Texas, was headed to Texas in order to be critical of what had occurred since people had given Cruz the flex that they did because he chose to go on vacation as they thought or whatever he planned on doing. So it's going to be a lot of controversy after it's over with. So there are people who have funds that filter into the place who are making an honest, earnest effort to help Texas and some states up along through the path of destruction that led all the way up to like New York, maybe Boston, I'm not sure about Maine. So with that being said, God bless them, wish them the best. Again, I would like to introduce the subject of the coronavirus, but I'm going to skip on to the stimulus plan. There's not much to be said, even though there is a lot of information out there. But at this point, the president, Joe Biden, he is talking about, from what they're saying, $1,400 that they will issue to the United States citizens. And he will be extending help with to them. And there will still be general guidelines that will adhere to how much you get, which is the $1,400 if that does happen. But the but is they may turn around and readjust the required amount of money you're allowed to make, which was presently a $75,000 per year, you know, per person. But they're going to adjust, make adjustments mostly because for whatever reason, they will eventually have followed up as to what they'll do and why. Since March the 14th will not be the date I'll come back on, whatever I find out, I will definitely share with you the guidelines for who is allowed to get it. Does still apply to most citizens at this particular time. Hopefully it will be done very, very cautiously so there will not be any more money spent than what we're already estimating may or may not be able to be retrieved. Additionally, according to some sources, there are some people regarding the student loan situation who have went to their grave still owing dearly on their student loans. So truthfully, they don't have any solution or answer why student loans cannot be paid back. Speaking of the loan lending institutions, and they thought they could just be an institution who would get their money back, whether if the students do or do not achieve at least their goal or a part of their goal in order to be employed and the capacity to pay it back. Some people, their struggles speak for themselves. They are stuck financially. They cannot pay because maybe they didn't get the chance to finish school, not intentionally. Maybe as a graduate, all the promises of how that, you know, the college may have had incentives to help them get employed didn't exactly meet their, you know, needs. And as a result, what do you think would happen? They have to feed themselves first. They have to advocate for them, for themselves, their families. Well, you know, maybe have to take care of ailing parents who cause them setbacks. Millions of reasons out there could be the reason why some people cannot actually pay by now, especially now with the economic state, not only because of the coronavirus, even before then. And considering that, there are no guarantees going to college would have had dealt them such a negative hand that they would have considered it if they knew they would be stuck in the position they want. Biden said instead of $500,000 as $50,000 requested by the students, the former students, would be gotten rid of, dissolved altogether. He wants to give them what some people call only $10,000. Now, some people would hope, I'm sure, even if he could make it half, meet them halfway through that $50,000, possibly $25,000. Well, not the whole, only what covers whatever proportion. In other words, if they borrow $20,000, they don't get the whole $25,000. It's just understood. But they would hope that he would at least come back and help them to the tune of what it takes to be able to survive. Because keep in mind, if minimum wage is increased even $10 an hour, inflation is still an issue. And some businesses are increasing the cost of living and supplies you need to get through, like food, shelter, transportation, et cetera, and disproportionately. And loans are not going to be able to pay back a person who will be able to, student loans are not going to be able to cover a person to be able to survive all of that if they're still in limbo. So nobody's looking for somebody to just totally bail them out. Now, if they have like $70,000 they have to pay, of course, they know they have to get another resource, hopefully, or just a job that can adequately help them pay the balance of that so they can live well. So with that student loan issue, that is not just serious. That's a detriment on whether citizens for the future or the present will ever make it out there. And maybe if they get themselves back on their feet and can help themselves pay a reasonable amount of towards a loan instead of these over-exuberant demands of the tune of approximately $300 a month when they basically don't make enough to even cover life itself, maybe they'll be able to get themselves reacclimated to what the request of the economy would like to make and help them become taxpaying citizens happily so we can get back on our feet as a nation altogether. So with that being said, I'm going to let you know I'm going to cover the COVID-19 question and answer session following the call to salvation that will be given by Brother Robert Hudson. And he will, Minister Robert Hudson, congratulations, promotion. And I would like to make sure that he knows he's appreciated for just being the person he is, to hang in there when the CEO, Pastor Tarlene Daly, is not capable of doing it at this moment. And with that being said, COVID-19 question and answer. So hang around, everybody. And right now, Minister Robert Hudson, I have to get used to calling him Minister now. Could you please come forward
yes,
and give us the call of salvation?
Yes, me too as well. I have to get used to the title change and everything. And, thanks for the compliments that you've given me. And real quickly, I'm going to do the call of salvation. I'm going to go into the announcements, and then I'll hand the show back over. Okay, so this is the Project Purpose Kingdom Network. I'd like to thank each and every one of you for joining us for tonight's episode. No matter where you're at in the world, we thank you so much for your support and your listenership, and for also your sharing with your friends and family members, letting everyone know that we're on. Thank you so much. If you want to, so real quickly, the call of salvation is simple. And the call of salvation is to get closer to God. And the best way to do that is to be honest and be open. You know, we all are born in sin. And, you know, and through, you know, the repentance and just letting God know that we want to establish a connection with him. And the best way to do it is open it honestly. And you can choose the words as you will. But, you know, sometimes some people need a little nudge. And, you know, so maybe you may want to use some of the words or something similar to what I found when I just wanted to, you know, come to God and just let him know, God, you know, I'm a sinner. I wish to change my ways. I wish to serve you forever. I wish to bask in your light, and from that being from this day forth, you know, I dedicate my life to change. And once you've done that, or once you've done something similar, you know, you want to make sure you tell someone, you know, tell your mom, tell your friend, family member, call someone, just let them know you changed your life over to Christ. And once you've done that, you're saved. And the next step we suggest you do is you find a Bible-believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary that will nurture you in the Word of Christ. And if you can't find that, that's why we're here almost each and every night here at Purpose Kingdom Network, where we're a church without walls. And physically, yes, right now we're in a pandemic where we don't assemble physically in a church, but they do have Zoom, they do have Facebook, they have many different avenues where you can go ahead and fellowship with fellow members of, you know, your congregation or what have you. So in case you want to contact us here at Purpose Kingdom Net, I'm going into the announcements now. The best way you can contact us is via email, which is purposekingdomnet@gmail.com, where you can see your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello or send a prayer request. We gladly honor that. And we're also on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom, where you can do likewise. Anytime you want to hear any of our past or previous shows, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. We can simply type in the host name or the show name. You can hear that show in its entirety and at your convenience. And we thank you so much. And we also thank Reverend Joe Williams, who was on earlier. And also, you know, just to let you know, on Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sundays from 11 a.m. to 12 noon, he has a line where he goes and offers a service. And that phone number, in case you didn't get a chance to write it down, I give it out right now. It's 701-802-5077. And the code to that is 8565218#. And that's how you can hear his services. And we also thank him along with him coming on and also sharing with us. And he is the last surviving members of the Dixie Hummingbirds, and we just appreciate him for the word that he gave us and for his just being a guest and just sharing. With that being said, tomorrow evening we're going to take a break, and we'll resume on Tuesday with at the 9 p.m. hour with One Touch Transformation, and that's going to be hosted by Minister Arsenius Jackson. And once again, we thank you, no matter where in the world you are. And with that being said, I'm going to hand the show back over to Sister Antonia Batts.
Thank you very, very much, Minister Robert Hudson, and a wonderful engineer and whatever other, you know, hat he wears at the Station of Purpose Kingdom Networks. And, well, let me see if I can insert this information that has been very intriguing for the reason a lot of people don't think to ask these things. Let's see what we have to work with. Well, question number one. How long do I have, and I'll tell you the source where it came from eventually, how long do I have to self-isolate after being infected with COVID-19? It says here, for most persons with COVID-19 illness, isolation and precautions can generally be discontinued 10 days after the symptoms onset and resolution of fever or of at least 24 hours without the use of fever-reducing medicines and with the improvement of other symptoms 5 days ago. That came from the interim guidance on duration of isolation and precautions for COVID-19, of course. Now, question, can you get infected with COVID-19 after touching a surface with the virus on it? Another way to catch the new coronavirus, being the answer, is when you touch surfaces that someone who has the virus had caught or sneezed on, you may touch a countertop or a doorknob that contaminated and then touch your nose, mouth, or eyes. The virus can live on surfaces like plastic and stainless steel for 2 to 3 days, and that comes from how coronavirus is transmitted. There are all the ways it can spread. That's another source. Another question. How long do recovered COVID-19 patients continue to shed the virus? Answer, recovered persons can continue to shed detectable SARS-CoV-2 RNA in upper respiratory specimens up to 3 months after illness onset. About that concentration, considerably lower than the duration of that illness is the answer. It ranges where when they reproduce their self, they have been reliably recovered, and the infectious disease is unlikely maybe 5 days ago. That comes from the interim guidance on duration of isolation and precautions for COVID-19. Additionally, can a coronavirus be transmitted through surfaces? It says, as an answer, it may be possible that a person can get COVID-19 by touching a surface or object that has the virus on it and then touching their own mouth, their nose, or possibly their eyes to be the main way that the virus spread 7 days ago is what it was advertised. And it comes from the particular session called COVID-19 Frequently Asked Questions, A-F-K-E-D, questions. That pertains to pretty much most of the stuff that's being introduced, unless I mention another source. Okay, here's another question. How long after the onset of symptoms are you infectious for COVID-19? Answer, available data include that persons with mild to moderate COVID-19 remain infectious no longer than 10 days after the symptoms onset. Persons with more severe to critical illnesses or severe immunocompromised stuff, they're likely to remain infectious no longer than 20 days after the symptoms. And that comes from the interim guidance on duration of isolation and precautions. And here we go. Where did COVID-19 get its answer? How long? Well, I didn't get to address that, but there's a reason, and someone else can address that at a later time. And it's easy, but it's there, that's all, but we'll eventually answer that another time. Here's another question. How long will the COVID-19 pandemic last? Right now it says it's too soon to tell how long the pandemic will continue. It depends on many things, including researchers' work who learn to survive the virus and their search for treatment and a vaccine, and the public's efforts to slow the spread of the virus, in other words. And it's in a brochure called Coronavirus and COVID-19 Overview Symptoms, the Risk Prevention. By the way, don't forget to get your shots. If you have any skepticism, there are, for those who are minorities who have been stepping up their game and accepting it, there's something here in Philadelphia called the Black Doctors Consortium. Hopefully you can Google it or look it up, and I'm quite sure they'll give you why they feel reassured as to what's going on. Let me see. We are looking at a question. Is it recommended to self-quarantine after being around someone with COVID-19? Answer, anyone who has close contact with someone with COVID-19 should stay home for 14 days after their last exposure to that person. It's in a brochure called When You Can Be Around After You Had It, I guess. And with that being said, let's see. We have additional information. It says, how does COVID-19 spread? It says here, COVID-19 is a highly contagious virus. Human coronaviruses spread just like the flu or a cold, like through the air, by coughing or sneezing. Close personal contact, such as touching or shaking hands, touching an object or surface with the virus on it. And that's in pamphlet or the book called Coronavirus in Pennsylvania. Don't forget, everybody, please wear your mask. You're only saving your own self. And if it's not going to be the virus, it may be the flu. It may be pneumonia. So it won't hurt to do so. For more reasons than one. Okay, the next question. What surfaces should be disinfected during the coronavirus disease pandemic? It says, practice routine cleaning or frequently touch surfaces. It says, more frequent cleaning and disinfection may be required based on the level of use. It says, surfaces and objects in public places such as shopping carts, and point-of-sale keypads, you know, like the self-checkout lines, should be cleaned and disinfected before each use. If not, clean your hands with hopefully a wipe you have in your hand before and after, or at least afterwards. And maybe wipe the keypads for the next user if you would like to help add into the need to support this whole movement to eliminate it. Let me see. High touch surfaces include tables, doorknobs, light switches, countertops, handles, desks, phones, keyboards, toilets, faucets, sinks, etc. That's recommended by a brochure called CDC Cleaning and Disinfecting Your Facility. Question. Can I prevent or treat COVID-19 by using disinfectant sprays, wipes, or liquids on my skin? They say, no, don't do that. Disinfectant products such as sprays, mist, wipes, or liquids only to be used on hard, non-porous surfaces. Porous meaning the skin, which has air holes, millions of little air holes all over our body. Materials that do not absorb liquid easily, in other words. Such as floors, countertops, or any other soft surface, such as mattresses, sofas, and beds. Question. Disinfectant should not be used on human or animal skin. Oh, no, but that's actually a statement telling you don't use it on human or animal skin. It's in the COVID-19 Frequently Asked Questions book. Here's another. Can I share a bathroom with a person who has COVID-19? Answer. Is sharing a bathroom, the person who is sick should clean and then disinfect after each use. In other words, people, leave products in your home that are visible, along with, you know, nice paper towels, which, you know, you can put on a spool if you want, and that may help you know, reduce the situation. He may even want to wipe the spool just in case when people come after him. They said it's not, if it is possible, wear a cloth face covering and wait as long as possible after the sick person has used the bathroom before coming in to clean and use the bathroom and try to use it before you use it. COVID-19, the pamphlet, caring for someone at home is that particular reference. How to clean and disinfect your home when someone might be sick with COVID-19. They say close off areas used by the someone who may have the COVID-19. In other words, if you can isolate them into their bedroom, for example, or their basement, and do not use these areas until after you clean and disinfect them if you have to use them yourself as well. Wait at least 24 hours before cleaning and disinfecting. If 24 hours is not feasible, wait as long as possible. Provide staff, providing staff with the training, like the safe and the correct usage of storage of cleaning, I'm sure, in the medical facilities, and disinfecting products, including storing products securely away from children and pets, which some of us forget. If we leave them out, we have to be concerned with that. That comes from the brochure, Consideration for Owners and Operators of Multifamily Housing. Here's a question. How do you clean the bedrooms and bathrooms with someone that has COVID at home? And it says if you're using a separate bedroom bathroom, only clean the area around the person who is sick when needed. In other words, and cover yourselves as well. No. It says especially if it's soiled. It will help limit your contact person. Can clean their own space. All you have to do is just put the products in the room, have a special section. You can put them in a disposable bag, and maybe don't touch the disposable bag unless you have another one. You can, while you have gloves on, slip it in the bag, keep it at a distance away from yourself and your clothing when you collect anything that's been used. It says give the person who is sick personal cleaning supplies such as tissues, paper towels, cleaners, and EPA registered disinfectant. If sharing a bathroom with the person that's sick should be clean, do it after each use that they're using it. If this isn't possible, wear a mask and wait as long as possible after the sick person uses the bathroom and to come in and clean it. That was in the pamphlet, Caring for Someone at Home. It says, can COVID-19 spread through food? It says here, the virus that causes the COVID-19 is a virus that causes respiratory illnesses. Virus like Titus, for example, can make people sick through contaminated food if it goes into their stomach. Currently, there is no evidence of food containers or packages being associated with the transmission of COVID-19. And that comes from the pamphlet, COVID-19 Frequently Asked Questions Guide. How long does COVID-19 survive on clothing? The researchers suggest it doesn't survive long on clothing compared to hard surfaces, and exposing the virus to heat may shorten its life. It says a study published and found out that room temperature was probably just considered the norm. And it says it was detectable on fabric up to 2 days and compared to several days for plastic and metal, probably the same applies. And it's in a pamphlet, how long does coronavirus last on coronavirus? And health topics as well. Let's see. How to safely wash COVID-19 infected persons' laundry. Do not shake the dirty laundry. Wear disposable gloves while handling it. Dirty laundry from a person who's sick can be washed with other people's items. But truthfully, guess what? Don't wash your clothes with them, because every instant prevention can work. Now, it's a shame I didn't have time to do the additional question and answer session, but hopefully I can pick up the rest as a result of the next show that will be posted on the third Sunday in every month at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in the United States, but it pertains to everybody in the world who would like to be on the safe side. Well, with that being said, God bless you, and I thank you all for listening, and I pray that we all can get through this. But about that South African virus, they said they may be able to use the same, vaccine, but it's not guaranteed. As time goes on, they're still studying it, and it hasn't ran rampant yet here in the United States, but other places, depending on where it's at. That's an unfortunate situation. God bless you. See you in one more month, and you have a safe journey, and get your shots, please, because to come to find out, if you do it responsibly and consult the right people, there's a chance that you can feel more trusting and more giving of yourself to encourage other people. God bless you and good night.
Jesus bless.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.